Yeah, because Wayne walks off the set, and
Yeah.
then people are like tuning in, and you're like, nobody's saying anything, just sitting there. That's how we've started our podcast tonight, chap.
Are we live already?
We're live. How you doing?
Oh, there's no intro? The intro's just sitting there frozen. Okay.
It is sitting here frozen, but here's what I was thinking is that I listen to a lot of podcasts and they always start with like some sort of a intro, like explaining what they're going to talk about. Then they fire the intro. So that was my thought.
Remember that scene in Tracers where that dude's head blew up?
Exactly. Welcome to the podcast. It's Guys Not on the Radio. We're back. Are you ready to do this?
Yeah,
Let's go. Let's.
I think we're going to talk what your journey in radio
Yeah.
history over the
Yeah,
last so many years.
because of this podcast, I got back into radio, and then it all kind of came crashing down over the last couple of years. So that story coming up, and
and I'm
then
out of radio again. So hey.
Shap's out of radio, and we got to know what's happening with the school board race.
Yeah, I got official confirmation today
Did
of the
you? Well,
results.
don't
I did.
we have hold on to that thought.
It's called a
It's
tease.
a
Yeah, I still
tease.
remember that. Yeah.
Drop what you're doing. Make this a priority.
And now it's time for Guys Not on the Radio with Shap.
He's a party on skates.
And JC.
The little girly man.
Shap.
If you stuck a lump of coal up his ass, in 2 weeks you have a diamond.
And JC.
They think he's a righteous dude.
Is this it? I mean, is this two bowls of M&Ms and some balloons? You know what, Phyllis? I think you need to step it up. Because if I'm not mistaken, we gave you your wedding shower here. We all came into this room and gave you a golden shower.
That's disgusting.
You are fake news.
You're killing me, Smalls.
It's Shap and JC and the Guys Not on the Radio podcast.
Well, that sets up. I'm going to see a man about a wallaby.
Welcome back.
Hey.
It is the Guys Not on the Radio podcast. Joining us on Facebook. I don't think we're streaming anywhere else, but I am actually going to put this one up on our actual podcast feed.
Oh, nice.
Which, Shap, I have not done that. I think we've done like two or three episodes, and I never published them. They were just Facebook only episodes. So this one I will work on getting back online. So
I love how, like, if you look at the camera on the social media feed on are we allowed to call it Facebook still, or will we be sued? Because it's not, we're not saying Meta. So anyways, one half is very light and the other half is very, very dark.
Oh yeah.
So apparently I have you know, I have the good side of the force, and you are Darth Vader over there on the other side of the screen, apparently.
I guess so. My office is a mess. And before I get into this, I want to share something with you. My kids are like totally into music now, which is fun. So once they hit teenage years, because you know, you find your music and your like everything around 13, 14 years old. Would you say that was like true for you?
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely.
And so I'm watching my teenagers like discover music and what, and so I'm just going, go have at it. Because I remember my dad doing that with me, like with his vinyl and his records. And your dad did that too, right? With the Led Zeppelin records, right?
Yeah.
So I'm kind of doing the same thing. We were talking about physical media the other night and CDs. And so last night, my office is completely trashed right now. Behind me is I brought a couch in here because we listen to vinyl and read comic books. And so last night, when we got back, because I don't remember where we were, but wherever we were, we got back home. And I was telling the kids that they could just have at my CD collection. So I'm going to see
Oh.
if I got a bunch of pictures that I was putting together here. So let me bring this up for you. See if you recognize some of this, because some of this goes back to our college days. So if people
Yeah,
don't
I
know,
see Dookie. I see Pablo Honey.
So Shap and I, like,
The cram? You wait. Who's was that? Now is that Heidi's? Because I don't remember you having that.
The cranberries. I think that is Heidi's.
Yeah, because I have that here. I'm like, I don't remember having two copies of that floating around the dorm. So
I had I just pulled out the CD book and just let him go to town. And what's hilarious is my original 5-disc CD changer that I got for my 15th birthday. It's a Magnavox and it still works flawlessly.
That's amazing. Because you know, I bought a Magnavox similar from that. Like probably, I don't know, 7-8 year model after that, and it was a giant piece of shite. it did not last for like more than, you know, so many months, and it wasn't like I'm pretty sure I had it like at my mom's. I don't ever remember bringing it to college, so it's not like we were smoking cigarettes around it to ruin the laser or the head or anything. So. And I mean, I know yours had experienced plenty of cigarette smoke and more from our dorm room. So, like, how did, you know, I guess they just don't make them like they used to, you know?
Right.
Back when they were heavy and they were tanks. And it's the same thing with the amps. When you get a good heavy amp compared to not. What is the gray CD there?
It's Wu-Tang.
Yeah. That's Wu-Tang?
Look at it's Wu-Tang. I don't know how I ended up with a Wu-Tang Clan CD.
Yeah, it is Wu-Tang.
I got Wu-Tang in here. Which Abby's been getting into that, and she just got an MF Doom record, which I was kind of excited for. So yeah, there's my messy office, and look at there's Jake and Abby, like scrout like my CDs. They were mostly because they're probably same with you. Your CDs, where do you keep them?
I still have a nice clear shelf and rack for all of that.
So you put them back in the thing because mine were still in a book, and then a bunch of them were just in like boxes. Without the cases.
I have books with the burn stuff.
Yeah.
And then I still have an IKEA shelf full of CDs.
Yeah.
And I've become such a nerd now with collecting vinyl and then using Discogs, which I've turned a few people onto, to catalog the vinyl. And so now I'm debating doing the same thing with my CD collection because people are buying CDs again. They're buying used CDs again too. Physical media. So it's like, oh, maybe I can sell all these. And, you know, do I want to sell all these? I don't know.
Yeah, the CDs are making a comeback. So, but yeah, that was last night. So going through the music and getting all that stuff together. So that's why my even though I just showed you pictures of exactly what my my office situation is like, I like to keep the lights down, get the mood. But yeah, you're rocking some yellow behind you. So, but do you want to start with Oglesby and where you're at with the or do you want to go through the radio journey first?
You first. This is a radio podcaster, not on the radio pod. You first.
Well, and what's crazy is we started this whole thing because I'd already been off the air for about 5 or 6 years and you had just left WAJK. And you were in between
stations.
I love
how you say left. That's pretty funny. That's all I'll say. I just leave it there.
Right. So you had just left and then we were like, hey, what are we going to do? Cause you had like some downtime before and you were actually searching, I think, for jobs at the time. So we were trying to keep you sharp and nimble, ready to go for that next radio career. And so we started the podcast as a way to kind of to bridge those two things. And what's hilarious is I always wanted to kind of do some part-time stuff and kind of float the idea, but I never actually did it until Tom Clark, who at the time was leasing the WZOE stations from, or renting, I don't know how it was just set up, but he had it from Samets and was GM of that station and was looking for, he actually was looking for you. Did you know this?
That he was looking for me?
Yes. So
no, I guess I don't.
So he called the guys on the radio number and he called my number.
Okay.
Which is hilarious because most of the time people call your number looking for me. But Tom called my number.
Yeah, for the DJ
for the
company.
DJ business,
because I'm no longer an owner of that. Yeah.
So he called my number and this was probably what, 2018?
How long was I already moved on to Jack?
You had already gone to Jack. So it was like a month or two after you got the job at Jack.
Oh yeah, that had to be 20. I started at Jack in 2017. So
okay, so yeah, this is last maybe
2017, 2018, probably. Okay. Yeah.
Yep. And I said, well, I asked who he was and what he needed, and he's like, oh no, I'm looking for, I'm looking for somebody to voice track my afternoon show on Z98, because person I had just left, and I had heard that Shap was no longer WAJK, wanted to know if he wanted to work for me. And I said, well, he just took a job with CMY and he's doing Jack FM mornings. I said, well, what do you need? I go, I'm a former radio guy. And so we got to talking and he said, and he told me about, you know, all the voice tracks that he had. And some people are doing them remotely. And I said, well, I could set up something in my basement and put a little studio together and record something for you. And he's like, okay. So he hired me on the spot. Because he was looking for you, and he had just moved over to Jack. So that's how I got the Z98 afternoon jobs. Because that actually, it was right away because you went to Florida, and I did Z98 afternoons and filled in for you on Jack FM at the same time.
Look at you, Mr. Lucky.
I know, right? So
you're welcome.
So thank you. And then all hell broke loose at Z98. And it's hilarious. I feel like I keep going into these positions or take these gigs and then like all hell breaks loose. So I was with, I think it was a year and a half of doing Z98 afternoons and recording them from right here. And then everybody walked out on town. So it was probably the craziest thing I've ever experienced in radio. Was that whole situation. Cause I mean, I wasn't really tied into anybody there. So like, I will tell you that my time at Z98 was very positive for me. I enjoyed working with their salesperson, Angela. I love Chuck O'Brien, fantastic dude, does a great job. I think he's up in Rochelle or something now. Is that right? Rochelle. Yep. Doing mornings in Rochelle. Really love working with that guy. I learned a lot from him just in the short time that I spent with Chuck. And then Paul Bomley, loved Paul. And they had some issues, I guess, with Tom. I never had any issues with Tom. Tom, you know, there was a lot of things that were happening in Princeton and Princeton Radio at that time and a lot of rumors and different things. And there was a rumor going around that paychecks didn't clear and stuff like that. I will tell you, I never had a paycheck bounce, or I never didn't get paid from that, Tom.
That's
Clark
good.
Z98. Yeah.
So, it is never fun to have a paycheck bounce. That's
no,
never a fun thing. I've had it happen before. It's
have
not
you really?
A fun thing. Oh
my God. And the places I've been. So I mean that was my thing with Z98 was a positive thing. I know the people that were there day in and day out had a completely different experience than me, but I know that after everybody walked out, I took a day off of work and I went over there and tried to help them as much as possible. And it was like just trying to keep something on the air that was like the most important thing. And I will tell you, know, God rest his soul, Paul Bomley was a fantastic morning show host for Princeton. Tommy Rose, fantastic morning show host from Princeton. But I will tell you, WZOE AM has never been more entertaining as it was during that week or two or that month after everything hit the fan. So
what was going on? What were you guys doing that week or two that made it so entertaining?
Well, it was Tom. So all the drama that was playing out like online and everybody else trying to figure out what the hell was happening because everybody left the station.
Yeah,
Tom
yeah.
was on the air talking about it openly. And I think as awful as the whole situation was, I think it's one of those things where it's like, you know, a car or a train wreck, people watching it from afar going, I want to see what's going to happen, or, you know, tuning in for probably all the wrong reasons, but man, like
wasn't the town of Princeton like saying, well, he's taking it away from being a local station, but that was the furthest thing from the case because he was live himself trying to keep everything on the air.
Well, I mean, look at it now.
Yeah.
Like there's now it's not. No one there now. There is nothing. They're selling that building now. So, and well,
do they even do Princeton sports anymore?
No. I mean, that was probably one of the smartest things that Spencer and his team picked up was Princeton sports.
Yeah. I mean, because they're crazy about their Tigers out there.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's been good for the Starved Rock Media.
Speaking of Princeton Tigers sports, that was when we were still at the radio group, which is no longer the radio group. It's not even Studsville Media anymore. We'll get to that later, I'm sure. But I remember calling playoff games for the Princeton Tigers. I think it was me and Dave Nason. Do you remember Dave?
Oh, yeah. I just friended
Dave. Did you go see Radiohead with him?
I did.
Yeah. Super tall guy, really dark voice.
Yeah.
We called, I want to say a semifinal, like the very last game before they went down to state, and it was up in Lombard against some team that's always good. I can't remember their name right now. It's driving me crazy.
Glenbard? Maybe,
what?
Was it a Glenbard?
It might have been. I got to have to look it up, but
all right.
Because I think we went to Dave and Buster's afterwards because we were right there off 355 up there by it. But we froze our asses off because there was no place. The press box was completely full, and ZOE had their longtime crew that was calling the games at the time, and I don't know who they were.
It's probably Paul. Remember. Paul's probably one of them.
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure they were like even prior to Paul calling games because I remember seeing Paul in a press box too, but they were older guys, and they were completely like huddled up, and they had built this table with a stand that went into like pipes in the first row of the bleachers. But of course they were on the wrong side. You know, they were on the visiting side or the home team side, the only place they could get power. But Dave and I were all the way on the other end, all the way in the top corner of the bleachers. And if you've ever been, you know, a high school game, just the amount of wind that comes in there. So you're all the way at the top. So there's nothing protecting your head from the wind. And it was like one of those 40, 50 mile an hour cold November days. And we froze and just like you had to duck down to try and keep the wind from making a whistling sound on the microphone. But good times, let me tell you. So
yeah,
here's $25. Enjoy.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I remember that those were the days where Radio Group, like, they would just go, okay, who's in playoffs? Okay, let's send a crew because we can sell it. So,
yeah, there's nothing more sellable in the area than playoff high school sports.
Yeah.
Football and basketball.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, I would say, in again, looking back, Tom was a great guy and fantastic guy to work with. I know that there were a lot of issues and things like that happened and plagued him while he was there, but, fantastic airman. Like I kind of wish that he could have just did the morning show and did some of that. Cause he was doing Z98 mornings, but man, during that week of just craziness, I wish we could have sold it, to keep him on the air because basically the next thing that happened is I knew once regional media came in, it was going to be the death of them. You know, I guess I was optimistic and hopeful that it wouldn't be Sterling all over again, but it, you know, and Sterling, I think for regional media, even though they canned all my friends that work there, they've actually, I think made a pretty good go of ad dollars in Sterling. I don't know how the hell Princeton is existing right now, without any local content. I mean, the news is awful. Listening to their news, I've tuned in a couple of times and I'm hearing like press releases from Naperville. And I wonder if the concept is more, I think he's got this regional, you know, the whole name of the business, regional media. And I think he's got this thing that like, look, we can just do a regional approach, but I don't think people buy into that unless you're there at, you know, covering their news or at their city council meetings and putting your face in like there's got to be something to that.
Well, I mean, you could cover city council meetings a little bit better now, thanks to so many of them live streaming them. So you can do it that way. You can't ask questions there right away. You'd have to do a follow up. But
they could. You know, but I mean, not to cut you off, but they totally could. But they're not going to because they've got probably one news guy covering eight different radio stations in different areas. And it wouldn't be cost effective or time. It wouldn't even make any sense for time. It's sad to see what has happened with those legacy
stations. And not to not to change the subject or anything, but I mean, you could say a lot of the same thing with, you know, the newspaper situations, you know, I mean, you look at what happened with the News Tribune and, you know, the Ottawa Daily Times and was it the Bureau County Republican? And is that owned by Shaw as well?
Yeah, or
is that
still separate? I mean, he's got, Shaw's got everything all the way up through Sterling Rock Falls and then into the suburbs. But there, I mean, there's no competition on news anymore. I mean, right now, the only competition for news for Shaw, and again, we'll get to more, is Spencer's group. You know, that's it. I don't even know if, you know, can we even, you know, it's Starve Rock Media, you know, is what Miller Group became. And, you know, Shaw owns essentially the copyright to Starve Rock at this point. So I'm like, I don't know. I'm not joking, man. Like,
no, I know you're right.
They own, like, I remember talking when the Starve Rock Country brand came out, that was a Shaw. I don't know if it was the Times or if it was Shaw Media, but when the Shaw Media bought Times, they bought that copyright. So I remember that hearing conversations.
They bought Starve Rock Country.
Starve Rock Country, because they have Starve Rock Country.
The moniker of Starve Rock Country, yes.
They own the trademarks to that, because I remember they CMY brought in Starve Rock Country first, and then when Miller Group rebranded Starve Rock Media and got bought out by, you know, Steve Vogler's trust and Spencer running it, John Spencer running, they got permission to use, from what I understand, I don't know what the whole story is, but they had permission to use that. So I'm just kind of curious how all that's going to transpire, because Shaw owns Starve Rock.
Well, the hysterical thing is how many people from the Illinois Valley, you know, which they're, this area, and again, I've lived here long enough. I'm from here. I need to just start saying that. I'm from the area.
Yeah.
Because I've lived here for more of my life than anywhere else.
Yes. Yes.
But it still blows my mind how there is like this imaginary dividing line somewhere around 178 in Utica, that if you're from, you know, the west of 178, you're the Illinois Valley and F Ottawa. And if you're on the other side, it's vice versa, you know? You know, and I know I've heard a lot of stories of people. Well, you know, there was some real shady shit that happened, you know, with football games and what they did to some of the players and, you know, things. I'm like, come on. Still, you're still technically the same area. No. And by the look right there, Mark Zyglis is on here saying, I hate the term Starve Rock Country. See, that's the thing. And Mark's from, I think,
South Prue,
I don't want to say. Yeah, he's from the South Prue. Yeah, we'll put it that way.
Yeah.
So, but that's the thing. I think a large chunk of LaSalle, Peru, Oglesby, Spring Valley hates the terminology of Starve Rock Country. Can't say.
You know what? I'm on the other side. Like, I think it's great that we identify it, because I stopped saying, because Starve Rock has blown up so much. And I know we're on its side, but I think it's a big thing here. Starve Rock has blown up so much. And the people behind the marketing with the different tourism organizations and even Illinois embracing our area for tourism is good for us. I'm 100% on board for because now I don't even, whenever I go somewhere in the state, even if I talk to people in Chicago, they're like, where are you from? I'm like, you know where Starve Rock is? Like, yeah,
yep.
Just a few minutes from there. I mean, but that's it. Illinois Valley, I think, refers more to like LaSalle, Peru, Oglesby, Spring Valley, kind of. I think you can go to Ladd, you know, maybe we might be going a little bit too far north there, but I think it kind of stops there, because I mean, you might even be able to go down to like Marshall County a little bit, Putnam County, and go into Henry and talk about the Illinois Valley being down that way too, because of the way the river flows, you know. And I even hear people even refer to possibly all the way down to like Peoria as being part of that Illinois River Valley.
Ottawa, well, that's the thing, that when I first moved out here, I was like, oh, Illinois Valley. And then you hear River Valley and I'm like, is that the same?
Yeah.
So no,
that was the branding before Starve Rock Country. River Correct. Valley Weather. Do you remember that? That was,
yes.
That was a thing too. So,
yeah,
but cause I mean, they were trying to find a way to like identify more, because people just kind of think of like a certain small group of communities. But I always kind of look at it as a region, as North Central Illinois, you know, all the way, you know, to all the way to Morris, you know, as far, you know, as far west as Princeton, as far north as Mendota, think of like LaSalle, Bureau, Putnam. That's our region. That's our region for what I think, you know, that we identify as. But I mean, that's kind of, and Studstills were brilliant in how they made that LaSalle, Bureau, Putnam. That was the Arbitron market for radio to bring us back into that, you know. And I think, you know, transitioning from the Princeton thing, as soon as that got bought out, I told, you know, Fletcher and the gang from regional media, I go, look, I'm going to go ahead and step down because I know you're going to fire me. And they did. They canned everybody when they came in. So I left before and then got to say my own goodbyes and do what I want to do, do my last radio show, all that stuff. And then I had reached out then to Cole Studstill and to John Spencer and said, hey, if you guys have anything, I really enjoyed the last year and a half I did with Z98. So I would be totally cool to do some more part-time stuff because I do have this great job with Ivy Cellular and I'm not leaving there. Cause that's it. Like, that's funny. I got a meme the other day from somebody in radio. I don't know if you got it too from him. I don't want to know if I could call him out on the air, but he sent me this meme and it was like, I don't know. It was like a guy and it was like, he's all sad. And then he's like working in radio. And then the next slide below it was like, when you leave radio, and he's like crying, wiping his tears with cash. Cause that's the thing. I mean, like I would never go back full time. There's no way because it, you know, I don't want to make less money than people working full-time McDonald's. And people think I'm joking, but I am not joking. McDonald's people and fast food restaurant people get paid more than we got paid to work on the radio for the most part. So
yeah,
I'm going to put a caveat on there because there are people in this industry, even in this market, that are doing fairly well.
There are some that are doing very well.
Yeah. But yeah, for those entering and especially that Studstill Media, like, chain of announcers, they're coming. Yeah, in.
Do I want to reveal what my starting salary was?
Because I will tell you, my starting salary, the one that I got offered at SDR to work overtime, was $12.5 a year in 1996. It's like, don't go to college, just stay here. We'll pay you $12.5. You can live in your mom's basement. That was my first
$12.5 a year. That could buy you your pack of Camels and you're not old enough to drink yet, so don't worry about that.
I'll just go around and steal the cigarettes of the other jocks that leave them on their desks or in the studio. So that was a bad habit. But no,
my first full time gig, I want to say, and I was 22, 18 grand a year.
Sounds about right.
18.
I think
didn't stay that way for long. I was too valuable for that because at one point I was on the air for 13 hours a day, including two morning shows at the same time. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's why, you know, it's always going to be something for me that would be a hobby because, you know, I got three kids and now they're going to be going to college soon. And I don't know how I did it, man. I don't know. I think about what I was making when I left and having three kids in diapers and special formula because the twins were preemies and how the hell we made it on what we were bringing in at that time because it was tough.
And people ask how did you guys live together for 7+ years between college and after? We had out of necessity. It was out of necessity.
You're 100% correct on that. So like that's it. And so part time was always a better option. And then eventually from there, you know, after I did the Z98 thing, Spencer was nice enough to reach out and, you know, we kind of, you know, I will tell you, I love the people at Starve Rock Media. I think, and I'm going to piss off some people over at Studstill that I made friends with, but I think that the quality of talent and what they put out there, it buries, everybody in the market. So, just because I was never consulted as much. Look at you. Yeah, I know you've got a different place in your heart. So you went through different experience than I did.
I'm not trying to say anything negative about anybody. I'm trying to be the PC person here because it's like, you know, you never know. It's like, you know, don't piss off, you know.
Yeah.
Don't burn any bridges here, okay?
Well, and I'm trying to mend some bridges because I feel like I burnt them.
Are you?
I am. I feel like I burnt them when I left there. Because okay. I had issues with one person and because I had to sit in a seat. And I will tell you the reason why he has issues with me and the reason why he and I had a big falling out. I don't even want to give him oxygen because I feel like this is what fuels.
Oh, okay. Now so, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yes. So I feel like this is what fuels his brand. is this kind of stuff. But I will tell you, I enjoyed, I had so much fun filling in and sitting in and working with Tom Henson.
And you could hear it too. You could hear it.
Yeah. I had so much fun. I just love being there. Jeremy Aiken, fantastic newsman. I wish I had a chance to do more with him. Cause I mean, he, you know, when I was there full time, it was nice working with him as well. Jamie London, one of the best radio female personalities that I've worked with in my career. Her and I, when we did WGLC together, was probably one of my, like one of the highlights of my career when in full-time radio, when her and I got to share mics together, because I've never worked with somebody who is as much of a generator as she is. Every day she would have something new. And on top of that, she's got that same kind of thing that the LPO morning show hosted has. She has like little topics and things that she continues to bring back and continue those storylines. I love that. I think it's fantastic. Working with Kevin Robinson, who is their consultant over there, fantastic guy. I loved working with him at Studstills, which is why I recommended him when I came over to Miller Group and said, you got to hire this guy. I loved him. And not everybody likes consultants and stuff. Like we had fantastic people like Valerie Geller, who writes books on this stuff that worked with us.
I reached out to her not that long ago, actually.
Yeah. And she, you know, the one thing I remember that working with her on, and she was just like, you just need to have fun. You know, like stop worrying so much. You should just be, and like that whole thing was fantastic. And
there's things that I learned in air checks with Valerie that I could still use today and apply to my current job, really anywhere, any job.
Yes.
So, and you know, tell the truth, never be boring. You know, would you sit through, you know, just sit in the car and be late for work or with melting groceries listening to, because you want to hear how the end of the story is, you know? Make sure you keep that compelling and
peel the onion.
Peel the onion. Yeah. I mean, she'd probably watch this right now and be like, well, you guys obviously had a very loose frame point today of just a couple of topics and you're way off of it. But she'd also say, as long as you're entertaining, you know, and went back on course, it's fine. But
yeah,
you know, and then you have other that would over consult you or, you know, and sometimes consultants can be your best friends and your biggest cheerleaders. And then other times they can be your, you know, they could be one day and then the next day, the same one, complete flip side.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, yeah. And I mean that the thing is the reason I stopped filling in at WLPO was because of one individual. And the only reason I stopped was because we had a bit of a falling out and it had a little bit to do with social media. The morning show host is probably the best at what he does. There is no one else at that level in this market. And I would say even in mid-sized markets, because not only does what he does on the air, he truly believes what he is doing. Like sometimes I wonder if it's an act. It's not an act. He truly believes that he was put here on earth to save humanity. And that's his goal. So
you really think that 100%?
I think every
fiber of his being.
I think he believes a lot of it, but I also think that there's a little bit where he's doing things in a way to reach a specific demographic that is going to end up bringing more money to the radio station. So, and he's a genius at it. And so I have nothing negative to say there ever. Yeah. I will tell you, I look to him as a mentor for my time in broadcast. And also during our friendship, when he helped me out, with the DJ company and even our friendship outside of that, I truly appreciated his guidance and his thoughtfulness and his friendship. The only reason why everything kind of fell apart was because he had kind of clued me in that he was going to attack one of my friends on the air. And I asked him not to do it. And that's where everything kind of fell apart. And then after that, then Spencer asked me to fill in for his show, which he was gracious and he was fantastic with me. He showed me how everything worked, what to do. And so the idea was I would just come in and keep his seat warm. We had a few back and forths where he just kind of bit my head off for what I thought was no reason when I was just trying to engage with him on a friendship level. And even when I would send in text to the station as a secret agent, and he would then go on the air and this was after I started filling in. And then he would trash me without saying my name, knowing that I was listening. And so it all kind of came to a head. I was filling in on Wolf, and I peeked my head in one morning, and asked him if he had seen something that was going viral. And he yelled at me. And then I was kind of taken aback, fright. So I was like, what? And then he, proceeded to then go on the air and bash me, knowing that I was listening. And then, and I, at that point I said, I'm done. And I just kind of said, I'm done with you. So I filled in a few more times, and then I brought up a topic when the crazy guy was downtown LaSalle. And then the next morning, he decided to bash me for that topic, by saying that I was a social media addict. And if he had a dollar for every time I sent him a screenshot of a post that he would have, a post about him, that he would have over $500 in his pocket.
Well, you are a social media whore. I mean, what can we say?
I am. But I mean, I'm a marketing guy. I work in marketing. I mean, I want to know what's going on, what's trending. I need to know what's in the know. Plus, I like information. I love information. And so, and you know what? And a lot of times I would send him things, like I would send him screenshots and different things, because I know it fuels him. Yeah. And so I thought,
I apologize if there are children in the room listening, and I'm using
but I mean, that
colorful
was
language.
That was it. I mean, like I did things because I thought that he wanted me to do it. I didn't know that he didn't want me to. I thought that he enjoyed when people talked about him, because, you know, it's kind of the Stern phenomenon, you know, is he probably has more haters that listen to him than people who actually like him.
I would think that that's true. I 1000% agree with you that he is the most talented communicator in this area, bar none.
Yeah.
He's very good at what he does.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think that humility is always there. I don't want to take too many shots fired.
I don't want to, because right now this is the last time I'm going to talk about this. You know, I don't want to, I mean, I've shared my story with a few people that are close, and this is me sharing with everybody else, but I don't want to talk too much about this because I want to let it lie. And I hope that there is a time where he and I can completely reconcile, because you know what? I genuinely valued our friendship, and I just, for myself and my own sanity, I had to kind of step away and say, look, I feel like we've been good, and I don't believe that anyone should disrespect me to the level that you disrespected me. To his credit, after we had the blow up in the studio, he did call me and apologize, but it was only because I pulled all my ads.
what he did, you know, by calling you out personally on the air like that, did he use your name on the air when he did that?
When the studio thing, no, but when I filled in the last time and he did the next day, yes, he called me out on the air.
Yeah, that's trash.
And that's trash. And when I would fill in, even after all this stuff, nobody knew any of that crap had gone on. It was like 6 or 8 months after all that stuff had gone down. No, it was almost a year later.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing about people in radio. Yeah. And you've said this before. Everybody who works in radio has a massive ego. You have to be able to get on the microphone and talk like that. You have to. I mean, my head doesn't fit in this box that I'm in right now. It just doesn't fit there. It's out the windows. Some people are a lot better than others with keeping it in check, you know, and some people are, you know, I've always used self-depreciating humor whenever I've been on the air. That's probably to a downfall in some aspects. I don't give myself enough credit, but I've always used it for a bit of the joke. But, you know, at the same point, I completely lost my train of thought here, but because I'm looking at the live feed below to see comments.
Yeah.
And that's a little behind. So I'm trying to like not do that, but there was no reason for him to go out of the way to trash you the way he did, especially when you were just basically allowing him the freedom to take a vacation. And honestly, oh, now I remember, ego, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of us have this sense of ego. And I think in some instances, in this particular case, the person that we're referencing doesn't want anybody keeping his seat warm to be too well liked.
I don't know if that's necessarily the case. I mean, I enjoyed it. It was like, I mean, like to come up with the content and to do what he does on a daily basis. Oh my God. For me, it would be God awful, because I tell you what, I did talk radio for 6 months and it was the worst radio ever, ever. I think one day I had a topic was like, why can't there be more entrances to Spring Valley besides just Route 6 in 89? That was my topic, dude.
You know what? Roadways are a great topic. The roundabout is still killing. Talking about a freaking roundabout is huge. It's still.
Yeah.
I was able to troll Jack FM's Facebook page the day talking about
But doing that morning show, and that's a 5-hour morning show. It's from 5. Well, it's like 5:30 to 10. And so, like, I would always just do, like, morning. I would do, like, music themes, which I'd, like, every week. I'm like, oh, we're going to do AM Gold again. And then I would do nostalgia. And that's it. You can't do a morning show with a music theme and nostalgia every day. So his ability to weave it in and out of topics, to do his amazing live ads that he does. The guy is, I don't think people realize, even though they may not like his topics, just how good of local radio they have here.
All right.
Let's move on from that.
Hold on. I'm gonna say one more thing, and then I want you to put this guy to bed and move on to the next to the next story, because you know, otherwise we'll be here till midnight.
Yeah, no, you're good.
But simply, here's the situation, right? Here it is. I almost said it.
Yeah,
I came really close. He like you said, he is the best in the business in the area, bar none. He absolutely is the best in the area, bar none. Okay, at what he does, but he also knows and goes out of his way intentionally to make people mad. Right?
He has to have an enemy.
He has to have an enemy. He intentionally makes people upset and mad, and it fuels him. It gives him something. This will fuel him if he finds out about this.
Oh, it totally will. This will be fuel.
It totally will be like, ah, oh,
but the same point.
He proved my point. He couldn't let it go. See, look. but what I'm going to say is that you were doing a good job, and you were not only were you doing a good job and having fun on the air, but people liked it. You had a lot of good feedback on the text line and everything else. You had a lot of good commentary on that. People liked you filling in. You were a great fill-in and a great alternative for when he's not there.
Yeah.
Were you better than that person in the seat? No.
No.
No. I love you, JC, like a brother, but no.
No.
Okay?
Fuck.
No. But, and you know that.
I know that.
But the fact is that knowing that they have a viable option in case the shit hits the fan too much, in case the person that be rattles too many of the wrong feathers to the point that, oh crap, we lost this advertiser. Oh crap, we lost that advertiser. Well, we've got a backup option. Well, when you have a big ego, you can't handle that.
Yeah. So anyway, I was made an enemy, but I think the thing that I'm most hurt about is because, you know, he was like a big brother, like a mentor in so many ways. And also somebody that I genuinely did enjoy our friendship. And so that
he was a big
thing,
part of your life and,
yes,
you know, of your DJ company
for 10 years,
for a long time,
10 years. And I like Dawn sent a message, you know, you got to have boundaries. And I think that's what happened is we kind of crossed a boundary here that I felt disrespected. And it's like, I cannot allow myself to be walked on. I mean, I'm good at that. I think I do let myself get taken advantage of and walked on. And I think that's one of the things through my age that I've started to set boundaries and finding ways to say no. I still struggle at that. But it just didn't feel good. He made me feel bad. And like my therapist would always say, nobody can make you feel anything. I felt bad. And the things that he was doing was impacting how I felt about myself and about other things. And I just couldn't let that stand anymore. So
good for you.
Yeah. And that was the thing with, you know, my conversation with John was, and you know what, John's got to run a business, and he runs a great business, and I will tell you, he does a great job over there. And he said, you don't have to do it. Because when I brought it up, I'm like, this is upsetting to me. You know, I am essentially a salesperson now for my current job. And so if I'm going to go on the air and fill in part-time, my boss is being gracious enough to let me go do this for you, and the guy's going to come on the air and trash me the next day, that could impact my business. Because a lot of people listen to that radio show. More people know me from the few times I sat in that chair than the 10 plus years I spent in broadcast full time. Like yeah. There was way more of an audience there than any other shift that I ever did. You know, and I did Walls 102 nights, and I had 4 listeners doing that. So, but anyway, so anyway, that's kind of how things ended there. When Spencer told me, hey, you don't have to do this anymore, I said, fine, you know, I'm going to take a break. So I took about a month, and I was thinking, I'm like, Cole had always told me that I could come back and work for Stud Stills. And that's when I took about a month off, and I'm like, you know what? I still kind of want to do this. I don't know if I'm going to have any opportunities now over at Starve Rock. So I reached out to Cole, owner of Stud Still Media, and he was like, yeah, come do Walls Nights. And so they set me up for that. And within 2 months, they sold, within a month, within 3 weeks of me doing that show, they sold to Shaw. So, yeah. And I'm like, oh, are we going to make it through this time? And so I had pretty good feelings that I would make it through. Here's what I will tell you, and I probably shouldn't spoil this, but man, their voice tracking software is god-awful over there. And I hope Shaw invests in putting new voice tracking software in, because like Starve Rock and even CMY is ahead of what's going on with their software there. They set their voice tracks. Here's some inside baseball for you. They set their voice tracks to automatically shut off after 30 seconds. And so for most people, I'm sure they're fine. Like, my thought with this is that what do you do as it? What am I doing as an announcer? Is my job as an announcer to just kind of keep the music flowing? Is it my job to like connect with the audience and give them reasons to stick around or to enjoy their experience a little bit more than just a Spotify playlist?
Well, the Stud Still Media rule of thought has always been, you as a jock don't matter. It's the music. It's the station that matters. That's always been the case. And in general, across the board, it's not just Stud Still Media.
Yeah.
That's been the case for a while in radio.
Yeah.
Besides mornings, besides a Howard Stern, and I mean, there's only one Howard Stern. There, nobody else can come close to that guy and what he's able to do. There's other good people, but nobody comes close to what that guy does.
So,
having a 30-second timer, and especially for when you're, you know, a radio station that's hiring a lot of people fresh out of college or just first in the market, maybe that's a good way to use as a training tool. You can't go more than 30 seconds. So, by the way, and in that 30 seconds, I want you to promote this home show. I want you to tell me what song you just played. I want you to tell me what song is coming up next, what song's coming up after the break. And don't forget to plug our morning show.
Yes, but.
And breathe.
If you listen to their stations, they all have these habits. And I don't think, and they don't know who their audience is. So I hate this. I'm going to burn bridges here, but that's it. I mean, like I am totally burning bridges, and I don't mean to, cause they have a lot of talented individuals over there and some great people, but they don't know who that was like. And again, the Kevin Robinson stuff and the Valerie Geller was like identifying who your audience is, who you're talking to. There's a lot of you guys on a Wednesday, on a Thursday. What do you guys do? Like, tell us what day it is. Time checks, temperature checks. It's like old school radio thought that, because I can get all that information on my smartphone. So what are you going to give for, that's me. What are you going to do for me besides what my smartphone can already do? That's what they should be focusing on.
That's the thing, is that you've got that old school of thinking, that old way of thinking might work if you're talking to 70-year-old women who are still sitting around their kitchen table, drinking a cup of coffee and reading the newspaper, or, you know, a couple, an older couple that does it. And there are plenty of people in the area that are like that.
Yeah.
Still, yeah. I get that. But it's not what you're advertising to anymore.
Well, no, you know, and I think
the demographic that they want, you know, is not that.
What are you gonna do to separate yourself?
Correct.
From Spotify and all the other things that you know, satellite radio, you know, what are you gonna do to separate yourself from that? Because if all you're targeting is people that have a car radio, I can't even like my phone now goes directly into my car. And it doesn't even touch the tuner. Like I never turn the tuner on. The only like I'll put on TuneIn Radio. I'll use the app if I decide to listen to radio. But I will tell you that a majority of the time, if I'm doing podcasts and I'm doing like streaming services. That's it. Those are the two things that I listen to in my car now. Is about a 5-minute chunk of a podcast and that. So. If you're tech savvy at all and you use those tools, which a good chunk of the kids are coming up, that's where we're at. And on top of that, when I went back to WONC and did the Local Chaos 25th anniversary, I was like, how do you get your music? Did we talk about this? I don't know if we talked about this. I asked the kid, Austin Paulson, fantastic jock too, man. I hope that kid goes and does a bunch of stuff because he is fantastic, the kid at WONC. What's wild is I asked him, I go, how do you get your music? Are they sending you stuff? He's like, nobody sends me anything. I'm like, nobody sent, how do you get your music? He's like, I do research. I go on Spotify. I go on different blogs. He has to do research to find the music that he's going to play on the local band show because people don't send music anyway. Because you know what? Crazy. Bands aren't breaking from the radio. We're not breaking artists, you know? And that's how
they're breaking from TikTok and SoundCloud.
That's it. So I mean, so the old school mentality.
See that guy with the crayon spray drinking, hanging on the back of the truck? Yeah, that song was cool. What was that? Oh, wait, my parents liked it 45 years ago? Yeah. That song's dope, man. It's not dope anymore. It's a banger. Sorry.
It is a banger. They're gonna discover the next country banger on TikTok or some other social media site before they even hear it on Walls 102.
I cannot listen to country music at all. Yeah. The new modern country music is absolute horseshit. It is terrible. It is terrible. Like
I like it.
There's a couple of artists who are keeping what I consider country music alive.
Yeah.
But they're not listed as country music. They're listed as alternative country or Americana. That's what country music used to be.
I mean, like, if you listen to the Red Dirt stuff, that's kind of cool that's happening. Like, that's the Stoney LaRue's and some of that stuff coming out of Texas. And it is kind of, it's more all, I mean, country that's going on.
It's all country because of what modern country has become.
Yeah.
Which is this homogenization of pop music with the same BPMs and the same instrumentation and all that other bullshit.
Well, Dan and Shay sound like they, you know, sound like any other pop song than anything else. I do want to do a country music bingo card with like all the different things. Cause I was one of my big jokes is like, what happened? Why is there a song called Blue Tacoma right now charting on country radio? And I'm like, Chevy and Dodge have fallen so far off the map that Toyota now has a country music song. What? So yeah.
I remember we had to do a when it was LaSalle County Broadcasting. Whatever Star Rock Media is now, we had to make a chart and pick the demographics out of who our target audience was. And then we had a poster like hanging up in the studio. I think Jennifer Nagel might have taken one, actually. I know that she
was it Michelle? Did she take Michelle?
Yes, she was super offended about Michelle. She's like, that's not who I'm talking to. But the guy, the male aspect, drove a Ford F-150.
That
was my choice. I lobbied hard for that. I'm like, the Walls or the Wolf listener or the average male listener in this area, he drives a Ford F-150. So, but I know my friends at Jeff Perry will be very mad at me for saying that. Well, not anymore. It's not that anymore. Now it's if you can afford it, it's the GMC. It's the Sierra.
So I think that the whole issue that came up in the whole thing and the reason why the morning show host there was so against Facebook and social media was because Illinois Valley Scuttlebutt was breaking things and talking about things before he was. And what was hilarious was, is in the studio in WLPO, again, totally inside baseball here, they had those fake listeners, who your target is, what they're interested in. And the woman that was on that poster, it said, what does she do? Like, when she browses social media, where does she go? It said, Illinois Valley Scuttlebutt. So that was on the poster in the WLPO studio. And so that had to be looked at every day. So that's my theory as to why that became such a big, like a big hotspot for him was so because
telling me,
of that.
You're telling me they remade those after
they
my
did.
Time there?
They did. They were different. They were different. I think Michelle came back and she was now a WLPO listener. Michelle used to be an AJK listener, but now she's moved to WLPO.
On.
Yep.
So
anyway, but yeah, no, I just to move on from that. So anyway, I went to Shaw or to like Studstill Media. They found out that they were getting bought. And then they, you know, it was kind of, I mean, I was all Studstills because I was technically on the payroll as a part-time person. Like they paid me through payroll. I wasn't a contractor or anything. And then Shaw comes in and they offered me an independent contractor agreement. And as a business owner, I get like, I've dealt with this like independent contractor versus employees thing. And they told me I had to come into the studio and record. I couldn't do it here. And everything else. And I'm like, what am I going to write off as a contractor if I can't record here? At least if I can record here, I can write off my internet, I can write off my computers, I can write off my cool studio stuff. What I'm like, are we going to get to that point where I can record from home? And then the HR lady was like, yeah, sure. Well, I'm hoping we'll be able to do that. I'm like, well, you know, if I'm a contractor, there's no training or anything else. You just give me the job. No more air checks, because they were doing air checks with me. Which I should pull it up. It was fantastic.
You got an air check?
I had an air check while I was there. How about that, dude? 2 months, got an air check.
Who did the air check with you?
The PD there. So she did the air check.
Like, so a person who's like half your age?
Pretty much. it's amazing. She told me I had too much external noise. That was one of the critiques I got. But what's
to critique this person now? What would you say, JC?
What's hilarious is I do that on purpose. Like I purposely make noises sometimes. Like I'll read a story or something. Like fresh on the read a story, and I'll be like I'll purposely do stuff like that. And apparently she didn't like that. She wanted me to be more on a Wednesday and next, you know, more of that announcery stuff. No, she gave me some great feedback.
I always went along the train of thought. I mean, you try to make it prepared and sound as good as possible, but I always felt any type of mistake makes it better because then it's real. Then people know that you're not phoning it in and it's not fake.
That's
you're not recording ahead of time, all that other stuff.
I don't like I'm on the other side. I'm anti-formatics. And I mean, if you listen to my shows, you can totally tell.
Well, and that's exactly what you said about the 30-second thing, is that you know, if I'm there to enhance and keep people listening, which news fact and news flash to you, JC, 10 p.m. at night is not a time that you're supposed to do that.
No, it's not. Oh. It isn't. My last week there was terrible. Like I just was like trying to get it out because I knew, well, they had this thing in there. They had a conflicts of interest clause. And this is where everything kind of fell apart. Was they put a conflicts of interest clause in there. And I felt like if I was an independent contractor, I should be able to go and record whatever I want and work for whoever I want because I'm not your employee. So the only conflict of interest would be if I'm going to do something where like I'm going to cost you business or something like that. I'm like, it feels like a non-compete. And I won't sign a non-compete with anybody. Like, I didn't sign any contracts to work at Star Rock Media. They just paid me. I just gave them an invoice and they paid me. Fantastic. I'm good to go.
I never had a non-compete at any of the places I worked at in this market.
It wasn't necessarily non-compete. It was just like, it just kind of limited my ability and it put a lot of power in Shaw's pocket. And I felt like it was more like, this is something that you give to your writers and not necessarily something that I wouldn't do in radio. So I questioned the HR lady about it. She said that the big guy would get a hold of me. I never got a call back from the big guy. I just got a call from the PD who said, turn in your key. So me questioning their independent contractor agreement pretty much ended my relationship with them. So, yep.
So now you're Now you're going to backpedal out of the other statements to see if any other places want to bring you back unless you get more part-time work or
no. I mean, like, and here's the thing. I feel bad because I thought I was going to have an agreement and everything else. And I do think Shaw's going to put a lot of money into those stations. And I think that those dials, those seven frequencies are going to change dramatically over the next year. And I do think,
I would agree.
And I do think that, they if they're going to put money in where their mouth is, they're going to invest and they're going to bring some talent that's going to challenge the big man. I don't know. But that's it. I mean, right now there's only one other entity that competes against them for news. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I don't necessarily think that News Tribune and Times have suffered immensely. I pay them yearly for a newspaper subscription. And it's kind of nice because I pay for a News Tribune subscription and I can read my hometown news. I can read the Sterling Rock Falls news because that's owned by Shaw. I can read the news here and other places for the $100 a year, whatever I pay for the online subscription. However, I will say Shaw Media, you need to figure out the whole Facebook link thing because on an iPhone, it sucks. I don't want to have to log in every time. And what? You can't. So, like, if you click on a news story on Facebook, yeah, it brings it up in Facebook's browser, which then prompts me to then put in my username and password, and it drives me crazy because it doesn't save. So, like, if you have this is the advantage over an Android phone. If you have an Android, at least when you click on Facebook, it'll bounce you to an external browser that saves your password, so you don't have to check it every time.
Can't you on your iPhone just click to go to the browser with it and then won't your information be there?
If I go, I have to go one more step and that's what annoys me.
Click one more button.
I gotta click one more button. I want it one button. One button or I close the story. And then
sees me not shaking my head. Like,
I get stuck in the news story and the paywall. I'll get stuck there and then I'll have to physically close the Facebook app and then reload it. This is first world problems, people.
Jennifer is saying the local news has not improved under their watch.
Thank you. So I don't think it's improved, but I don't know. No, I don't think we.
You're saying you don't think it's gotten any worse.
I don't think it's gotten worse.
Well, I mean, they've got less people and less. You know, they can just like any time that there's a merger, you're going to have casualties and not as many people on staff covering things. Yeah. So you've got now the people they still do have that really are out busting and running and everywhere, like your Tom Collins's of the world, mm-hmm, and things like that. I mean, they're still getting their job done some. So
they are. I mean, we're in a weird state of affairs with journalism in general right now. So, with less competition and, stupid is the internet kind of screwed everything up because there was giving everything away for free. And it was like, if they would have just started with that pay-per-read model from the get-go, then I think we'd be in a better spot today. But
they couldn't start with that pay-as-you-read from the get-go because if they would have started that way back when, they would have lost a ton of eyeballs and a ton of traction. You had it just like Netflix and all these other places that start with these lower intro prices and then they work them up. If they would have
Netflix was never free.
No, but at the same point, if it wasn't $16.99, I think if they would have started at $16.99 way back when, people would have been like, get fucked. I ain't paying
I mean, even if it was like a buck, what I'm hoping to see is what Apple News is doing it should be the model going forward is like get a bunch of newspapers together and do one subscription for a bunch of different services and everybody kind of takes from that. I think that would be a model that could be sustainable. But I mean, like right now I pay for News Tribune and I pay for the New York Times. That's it. So those are my two newspaper subscriptions.
And when I want to read something, I just message you and be like, hey, can you send me this story?
Screenshot.
I suck.
So
I'm poor. I can't help this.
Yeah. But anyway, that kind of takes me where I'm at today. I think I am kind of taking a break and I'll just do the podcast now.
You know, it's interesting, JC, on the same day that you're coming out with this podcast, that there is a seat open, a very, very high profile seat open in the job sector Tucker Carlson's job is available.
Oh,
like that slot.
I think Don Lemon's taking it. And Tucker's going over to CNN. They're like flip flopping. They're like trying to like,
no,
oh, we're going to
get no way. There's no way.
So yeah,
I question. You think the Tuck goes to OAN or to or Newsmax? You think he can afford
him? I don't know what the Tuck's going to do.
I mean, I don't care. Yeah, I really don't. Yeah. But
no,
good riddance. So
I didn't watch him anyway.
Oh, every now and again, I would just to see what he was talking about. You know, like people do to certain radio shows and radio hosts in the area. But I occasionally, and just the smarmy tone of his voice and the way he would come across with questions that would just instantly grate on my nerves. And it was like you could tell, like his approach every time was just to rile up that base. You know, whether it was legit or not, which 9 times out of 10 it wasn't. So anyway, yeah. All right, moving on. So he's going to Russia. I did see a picture of him in front of a Russian news thing. Oh, I did want to clear up something earlier. If you're still with us earlier, when we were talking about the Princeton Tigers in the year that I called that game for high school football in the semifinals, it was 4A, the Princeton Tigers of 2004.
Oh, my goodness. They
finished in whatever would be third or fourth place. They lost to Montini Catholic. Montini Catholic up in Lombard. That's what it was. Montini. So, all right, moving on. So, what's next? Are we talking about
you led in earlier. So, John ran for Oglesby School Board. And we need to know if Nagel's still on, because maybe she would know if we got about how. How do people get placed on the ballots? Is it done by alphabetically, or is it done based on who gets their forms in first?
Well, I talked to the superintendent today of Oglesby, who officially informed me the results, which I saw online, and he just basically confirmed it. I am officially an election loser. So I lost by 12 votes. 12. So
is it over?
It is officially over. It is done. It is officially over. I lost by 12 votes. Congratulations to the candidates who won. I did get a kick out of it because I talked to a lot of other people that won in other towns and other areas and things like that. And then when I went back, I looked at the ballot and they were celebrating winning. They were running unopposed, or they were running like where it says nominate three or you can elect three. And there are only three people running. Of course you're going to win. You know, it's like I lost because it was an actual contest. So I kind of felt a little better after that. But the interesting thing to me, the order of how you get placed on a ballot supposedly is whoever goes and puts their petition in first, whoever turns their paperwork in first, they're put on the top. So that's exactly what Jennifer Nagel said. Yes, Aaron, I lost by 12 votes. And Jennifer, yes, you are correct. The order in which petitions are returned. There is some question whether or not if you are a incumbent, if you get put on the top, that is not true. So that is not true. So, and even the Oglesby School Board showed that because Laura Hine was an incumbent who got reelected and she was second on the ballot. I think Amanda Hardy, I think, was the first one. And then it was her. And then it was the other guy that beat me. I can't remember his name right now. I'm drawing a blank on it. But his last name actually is later than mine. So it doesn't go by alphabetical. It goes by who filed first. And I don't know if I filed first or not. I can tell you this with a fact. I filed on day number two. On the second day, you could file and turn in paperwork. I turned it in. Now, is it possible that all three beat me to it? Absolutely. When I asked that day if anyone else had, I'm pretty sure they told me no, but I don't remember. So now the interesting aspect, the interesting thing, and whether or not this had anything to do with it was you saw it yourself, JC, in the News Tribune, the list of people who were running for candidates, and they had me listed as last at that point, but they also had my name spelled wrong and listed me as Jonathan Snap Shapiro. So, snap, vote for Shap, didn't work. So, but I did have to, you know, so I did reach out. Matter of fact, right after you sent me that, I called the county and they said, oh, no, no, it's listed as Shap. You're fine. I said, okay. And then when I messaged the editor of the paper and told her, she's like, no, she's like, Shap, I'm telling you. She's like, and she sent me a screenshot. She's like, this is exactly what they sent us. And so then I drove up to the county courthouse to confirm. I said, I just want to make sure. And they said, no, we caught that mistake. We've already fixed it. So apparently it was listed as Snap, but they caught it and changed it to Shap. So, yeah, that's kind of how that whole thing went. So I don't know if the name change thing moved me down or if I was always the last person to file. So anyways, I guess, and I was even kind of told this by some of the other powers that be, is like, you know, really it very well could have been just simply where you were placed on the ballot and why you lost. And that's not taking away anything from the people that won. But let's take a look at one of the most highly contested races in all of the area that covered every county, more than just LaSalle County, was the IVCC Board of Trustees. And what was the big campaign strategy that people that leaned left? It was vote for the top three. Make sure you vote for the top three. So, you know, when you see that, when you see pick three and there's four names and you don't know who the hell they are, you're going to pick the top three.
Yep.
So, I mean, it very well could have had something to do with it.
Well, I'll tell you what, Shap, if you come back to Spring Valley, we got two open board seats on Spring Valley Elementary right now that they got to get filled. I don't know if people didn't run or people dropped out or what, but they've got two open board seats.
Well, and that's the thing. I looked at how many school boards actually were contested, and most of them were not. Most of them were however many candidates they needed to fill. That's the number of names that were running.
What was the turnout? So, the turnout was like 12% or something crazy of registered voters.
You know,
like
I was actually kind of impressed with the turnout for Oglesby, believe it or not.
You guys had a good mayor race and everything else going on. So,
yeah, I thought the mayor race and the mayor and the they don't call them trustees here. What do they call them? Like, they're not
commissioners.
Wards. Commissioner. Yeah.
Yeah.
That race and the
are you
mayor
village?
Race,
Is I, Oglesby I, a village?
Very well. What?
Is Oglesby a village?
No.
They just have a commissioner set up for their government.
Is it commissioner or is it?
I think it's commissioners.
No, I think it's alderman.
Is it alderman? Okay.
I think it's alderman.
Because I'm like, normally like, I don't know, some, because I know.
They're all the same, aren't they? Commissioner, alderman, trustee.
I don't know how all that works. I probably should do some research. But I know, like,
we should have a guest on here. Well, I know a mayor. I know a pretty big mayor we could probably have on at one point. So.
Okay. So, I don't know. Do I know? I do know mayors. I know the mayor of Spring Valley. I don't know if she'll come on our podcast.
Probably wouldn't be a smart idea for any mayor.
No politicians on here, please. Yes. Hey, man, I give you props for running, trying to, you know, just to help your district and your community and everything else. I think that's props to you for doing that.
Well, so, you know, there's a chance that, you know, somebody may have some sort of commitment or something come up and then they won't be able to fulfill their job or two more years. They were impressed because I literally went to every school board meeting for the last probably since like September or October of last year. So, I mean, you know, I didn't have to go, but I did because I just wanted to know what was going on in case I got the position. So, sure. That was the only disheartening thing, because I even went this last week and, you know, the one incumbent was there because she was on the board. But the other two new school board members weren't even there. And I'm like, well, wouldn't you want to be here if you're going to take over a seat to kind of get an idea what's going on? But I mean, each their own.
Well, so. I mean, and I think what's impressive too, because the one thing that I fight against, and I think a lot of people who move here, who weren't born and raised Illinois Valley, didn't come from LaSalle. You know,
that is one of my biggest pet peeves, by the way. That drives me up a friggin' wall, man. It drives me nuts. And you know what? It's even worse when you hear somebody who is an elected official say that. And there's a lot of those people.
Hey, that's how you know you're local. But
maybe if I would have done that, I would have won.
LaSalle. You know,
if I would have had 20 years on the radio in the area saying Les Al, I would I would have won.
But that's it. Like, it's like, I mean, one of my favorite ads was the Alcione ads for Granville, Illinois. And he would purposely have us mispronounce Illinois in the ads. But, you know, that's I think what's impressive to me for the Oglesby School Board thing is the fact that you only lost by 12 votes. True, you might have been on the air for over, 15 years in this market. But I think, you're not, you moved to Oglesby from, you moved to Oglesby within the last, 5 years, 4 years?
Yeah.
So you've only lived there for 4 years and only lost by 12 votes. I think that's impressive. So, because you don't have an Oglesby name, you're not, someone who's necessarily, you don't have a crew of people from Oglesby right now, do you?
No.
No.
And the two new people that got in, one is the son of the longtime postmaster.
Yeah.
From Oglesby. And another is an actual teacher in another neighborhood town. She lives here in Oglesby, obviously, but she's a teacher in another town. So who better to have on a school board than a teacher?
Than a teacher. So. Yeah. Going to have the union support. Definitely. So I mean, I, even though it didn't fall, the cards didn't fall your way. I still props to you. And I still think it's an accomplishment to only fall that far off.
Yeah. Gives me more time to play my records at home. With money I don't have.
Yeah. So we've
records
been doing this
more expensive, man. It's getting crazy. It's keep going up and up and up in price.
I hope they start printing them or find like, cause I know Jack White made that big plea to all the major record labels and said, hey, we need
open
help.
Open your prints.
Yeah.
Open your,
yeah. Cause I mean, do they still have CDs at Walmart? From what I understand it.
No.
When I go there and in the music, like the busiest section in that place now is, there's usually people in front of the records now, and it's kind of cool. It's kind of cool. So, but I should.
I was on a nice, like, strict no buying policy for a little while. So I'm itching. But it's like the thing is some of the ones that I want to get it, I'm better off ordering online. What do you got there?
This is why what I'm playing right now. I've got my David Bowie stage reprint. Uh-oh. On vinyl. It's that heavy stuff too. I like that, the heavier vinyl.
The 180 gram?
Yes. So
yeah, I don't know what it is about, and I probably should go back and revisit the Bowie catalog, but he's just one of those artists that I've just never really dove into like headlong like most people do. And I just
I need
not the tip of the iceberg for me.
Oh, you know what? You know, it's real quick on music, and then we'll wrap this thing up. You know what I introduced Abby to?
No, what?
Guided by Voices.
Oh boy, is that Teenage FBI?
I think it was Teenage FBI. There's a couple other big ones too. That was your college radio.
I was Teenage FBI.
Yeah, The Scientist, isn't that another one? But I remember that being like a weird. College band.
Whoever the front guy is for that one, I saw him open for Pearl Jam in Cincinnati because he's Robert Pollard because he's from Dayton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yep. So I put on some GBV for her the other day. But anyway, we'll have to talk
about it next time. I just got into Built to Spill finally. It only took me 25 years. So
next Monday, you want to do it again? I got a topic ready to go if you're up for it. Otherwise, we can push it back for 2 weeks and do another one.
Well, let's see. We got, you guys need to see the new Bowie movie. I've heard that's good. Yes. I wanted to see that. Commission form of government. And it's not the same. Erin says she can get us a mayor to interview, Kevin Zambori. Hey, Zam says I'm watching Dirty Dancing for some reason and watching guys talk about Oglesby politics. Hashtag Monday night.
Hey,
I'm just going to go out in a line and say you're watching Dirty Dancing because you're married. That's what I'm going to say. So.
Dude, I know
nobody
that.
Puts baby in a corner.
Yeah. I carried a watermelon. I want a t-shirt that says I carried a watermelon.
How are there not t-shirts made with that already? That would sell.
Right. I carried a watermelon. That's my favorite line in that movie. That was my sister's like, I remember I knew that movie like line by line because it would be on. We recorded it on VHS every day after school. Dirty Dancing was on, and so yeah, my favorite. I never realized it until I was an adult and watched it that there was it's an abortion scene. I just thought she was sick.
Right?
Today I learned
over your head.
Today I learned Dirty Dancing has an abortion scene. Like
somebody's raped in Greece or they're attempted raped in Greece, right? He's trying to force himself on her in Greece.
Who is trying to force himself on her in Greece?
At the drive-in, right?
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Quick on that. And then, we should probably wrap this thing up because we've been going for a while. Like, there is a whole community of people that are now going back and watching, like, younger kids, like my kids' age, like teenagers and like early 20-somethings, going back watching Friends and finding all the problems with Friends episodes now. And we can't watch these things with today's glasses time.
I haven't read the article yet, but I want to say it's on Vice, I think. But yeah, there was something about today's teenagers watching films like American Pie and them just like losing their minds over it because that just is not okay. 2023.
It's crazy like how, you know, I guess we've really turned the corner on a lot of things. I think Me Too kind of changed a lot of that and how we look at things from a different perspective, but oh my God.
Yeah.
I just don't want to, Aaron agrees with me. She did the Today I Learned too. She didn't know what that scene meant until she was at least 17. I don't think I watched it from the time like 1987 to like 1990. Like for those 3 years, it was on every day after school. And I didn't watch it again till I was a grown up. And then that's when it kind of caught me by the way, the Fountainhead and the freaking Ayn Rand stuff in there, the douchebag from the restaurant is reading Ayn Rand. Like, and that was another one that I didn't catch till I was an adult. And like, oh, of course, douchebags read Ayn Rand. Sorry.
One thing and then I'm done.
That's enough. I'm getting too political. All right.
Yeah, one more thing and I'm done. Format's coming back, you know, vinyl and you know, you've seen some people pushing for cassettes to come back. People are buying CDs again. Will VHS make a comeback? That's what I want to know.
Because I still got the VHS player here. So I was doing a thing during COVID where I would just do a live stream on Facebook and grab a random VHS tape and throw it in and like stream it.
Yeah.
So if we want to do a podcast on what's on the VHS, it might be fun because we might find some late night Cinemax and HBO stuff I recorded when I was in high school.
Nice.
So you're probably 13.
As long as it's not Jonathan's 11th birthday, and as long as we can leave that part out, that's fine. So, the reason I bring up the VHS is I don't know if you watch Yellow Jackets.
But Aaron recommended that and Heidi's all about it.
Oh, Heidi would love that show.
Yeah, she watches.
You are a scaredy cat, so no. So no, yeah. you probably shouldn't. But they're the one in the modern world, you know, in the current timeline, not the 1990s timeline, which great 90s alt rock soundtrack on that show. But one of the girls in her modern life, she has like a throwback VHS rental store that she has open in some small town in upstate New York or something. So, and she's got tons of like past notice due bills. Gee, I wonder why.
Yeah, because nobody's renting VHS tapes.
there's a guy on TikTok playing random VHS tapes. I think I've seen that. I like when they do the VHS tapes and they're like, can you guess the movie just from the very intro credits?
Ooh.
Like, yeah, it's on TikTok where it'll be like the 20th Century Fox like logo, and then you'll see like a garbage truck pull up. The guy getting off, and I'm like, "Oh, that's Commando! I know that one." So,
that's good.
So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Can I try that with you and see if you can grab one? Should we do one real quick and see how quickly you are?
Yeah, sure.
See if you can do
sure.
One.
Will I be able to hear it? Because I mean, the intro.
I don't know, but hold on. Let me go.
The intro that you played me. The only thing I could hear was the voices. I couldn't hear any of the music. Like the filter just get disappeared.
Oh, you know what? It's probably Zoom. It's probably Zoom.
Okay.
Let's see here. Open. Give me 2 seconds. I'm going to pull up a movie and see if you can figure it out.
I can't believe we've had a consistent audience live the whole time.
Hey, man. We haven't done this in forever. So
people need to get their Chap and JC fix, apparently.
Well, how do I start it from the beginning? Oh, start from the beginning. Oh, that's my intro.
Oh, you're live is looking. Oh, there we go. Okay,
hold on. Let me transition. You can't. Nobody can see it. All right, there.
Well, I saw that face right there.
Crap!
That's too late.
Do you know what it is?
Yeah. Pump up the volume. So, I wouldn't have got it without seeing his face. I can't hear anything either. So.
You can't hear it? Yeah. See, I just wanted to do this. Because there's two movies that use this. And the one, like, fantastic soundtrack.
They use what? These graphics?
This graphic like this. The other one I remember, SFW. Do you remember SFW?
Yeah. Yeah.
Fantastic movie soundtrack for that one, too. I feel like they use the same kind of spray paint graphics. But this is, I didn't realize Pump Up the Volume was 1990. So, anyway, that's, I think people should go on, like, a Christian Slater binge. Because that's, I don't know, he was my guy. Around that time, I was telling my kids that movie, Pump Up the Volume, whole reason I went into broadcast.
Didn't make him watch Cuffs, did you?
Oh, no. No. True Romance.
That's a good one.
True Romance, Gleaming the Cube.
Oh, boy.
So, and that's
You're going to hate me, but I don't know if I've ever actually sat all the way through Pump Up the Volume, believe it or not. So.
What? Like when I went to Riot Fest and saw The Descendants, there's a Descendants song in this movie, and they did it. And I was like, oh my God, I just saw that. And it was like 1 minute. Cause that's all Descendants songs are all like 1 minute.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, it's the song from Pump Up the Volume.
Yeah. So. And then just make sure you're not in the pit because you're old and you'll get hurt. So.
I didn't get hurt in the Descendants pit. It was more My Chemical Romance, which oof. Yeah, and I was talking to Jennifer Nagel about that. Riot Fest for old people is Sundays. That's when you go to Riot Fest. You don't go to the Fridays or Saturday shows because that's for the young kids. So, anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right, man.
I'm too old for anything that's more than like, if I don't have a seat or if I don't have like it's got to be like a 4-band limit. So, like even years ago when we went to Lollapalooza and saw Soundgarden, we strategically came later in the day and like capped it at 4 bands because it was just, no, I can't do the whole day thing. I'm old.
Yeah. Didn't we just, what was it? Mumford and Sons and like two other bands and we saw it and then we saw Soundgarden.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, the whole day thing in your 40s. No, I need a cot and a place to take a nap and I need to be
at least 2 days afterwards to recover.
Dude. Yes. Very much so.
All right, I'm going to need a couple of hours to recover from this. Have a good night.
You too, man. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks for everybody for tuning in. Goodbye.
Bye.